John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 1970s, you know who we're about to talk to. Chris Epting is here, our author musicologist buddy. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John, how are you?
I am doing real good. Wait, weren't you supposed to be coming to town any second now?
You know what? I was, and it's been changed to October, but
okay.
I will be. Okay, so mark your calendars, and again, hopefully we can, that's soon,
that's like 3 weeks.
Sometime in mid-October, that's
okay.
The plan right now.
All right, that's 4 weeks. So, all right, well, let's start off with, you know, it's not often that I get to say this anymore, but let's start off with cocaine.
Times have changed, huh?
I can't believe we're talking about a J.J. Cale song. We were just talking about J.J. Cale the other day, and Call Me the Breeze. All right, now we all know about J.J. and Eric Clapton and this song. What do you have for us that we don't know?
Well, J.J. Cale, he's one of those interesting guys. A lot of people may not know who he is, but he has provided. You mentioned the Skinner tune. We're going to talk about cocaine. But even before cocaine, in the early 70s, you know, Clapton recorded his song After Midnight, J.J. Cale's tune After Midnight. That was in 1970, and that was Clapton's first solo single.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clapton was a big fan of J.J. Cale, and it helped earn Cale a record deal and money and publishing and all that, which really kind of got his career to a spot where he could live as a working musician. So that was a big deal. And then we come up to the 1977 Clapton album Slowhand, and he goes back to the J.J. Cale well once again and grabs the song Cocaine, which again provides like a remarkable boost to his career. And Clapton's got the biggest hit of his career when that thing comes out. What's really kind of funny, not funny, but ironic, is that when Clapton recorded Cocaine, he had just kicked his legendary heroin habit,
mm-hmm.
but he was a coke addict at the time. So only the 1970s allowed for these kind of artistic scenarios, right?
Oh, my
he
Lord.
He could be out there singing it. You know, I don't know if you saw Clapton back then in concert, but that the song was always a real centerpiece of his show, where he would let the crowd, you know, sing the word cocaine when it came to the chorus.
Did Clapton ever have a problem as a reformed drug addict? All right, did he ever have a problem singing this song?
You know what he would do? He removed the song from the set list for a number of years because he felt it promoted something. You know, again, when people mm-hmm. get clean, you know, they don't want to go out there and promote something. But then when he started playing it again, he actually revamped the lyrics just a bit to include the line, "That dirty cocaine."
That dirty
cocaine. So he makes a statement about it, you know, kind of after the effect of being sober. That's a good question. So he did actually reflect it. I guess you're torn between, look, when it's one of your biggest hits, you know, it's kind
right.
of weird. You have to play it, but, you know, I think he dutifully, you know, made it so that it wasn't a promotional piece as it was back in the 1970s.
It's not often I get to say this, and I'm going to say it twice in one break. Let's do Cocaine. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.